Welcome to Keeping It Real with Eric Hatch of Hatch Realty, brokered by Real.
Usually on the second Wednesday of the month, this month on the first Wednesday, I'm like, Keeping It Real, Eric Hatch is in studio. Of course, you know Eric. He's a regular here once a month. Welcome back.
I'm the norm of KFGO is what it is. Yeah,
Eric. Hello. Yeah, because you're here earlier today.
That's right. What are you up to, Mr. Peterson? My ideal weight if I were 11 feet tall, right? Like, sounds perfect. It fits for me, too. It's great.
Glad to have you in studio.
Thanks, man. Good to be here.
There's a couple of things, real estate. We have people asking questions of the Twins. Your thoughts on the Minnesota Twins. They got 11 of 12.
Good thoughts.
Good thoughts, yes.
They're on their way to third in their division is what they are.
They're one, number one. They're number one right now. We'll see if they can maintain that. You're number one as far as real estate.
Oh, thanks.
And getting that pushed around from buying, selling. That's the transition we get into real estate. I do have questions, though, because we've had water in this area.
Yeah.
And I'm curious how that impacts if somebody wants to sell their home, right? Maybe they're south of town. I mean, I think about all these communities that are fighting water. This has to weigh on people's minds when it comes to buying, right?
Yeah. I've been selling real estate now for 16 years, so that I've lived through some floods as a realtor. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that happens is the real estate industry about shuts down when there's flood fighting. We're not dealing with that in the Fargo Metro right now, right. But you're seeing the Hillsboroughs of the world that are obviously in really tough spots. So first off is those industries, those markets showing buying, it all just subsides until it actually, until the water retracts. If you are in a flood zone, there's a couple of things. The first is flood insurance. And flood insurance can be a really awesome thing until it's not, right? Like, it's a really awesome thing because there are some folks, like, even the back corner of my lot. I live in South Fargo, and I have the back corner of my lot that's technically in the floodplain. But I back to the river, and I have a large man-made dike that's back there that the city came through 10 years ago and put in to protect the neighborhood. So even though a part of my property is in the floodplain, I don't have to have flood insurance. It's not a big deal for me. My lender doesn't require me to have flood insurance. For some folks that are in a higher risk where it's their actual house that's touching or a garage or an outbuilding, that can be inordinately expensive. And so that's an extra sometimes $2,000 to $5,000 a year in premium. And if you think about the impact and the buying power that that buyer now has, you're in like Barney Rubble trouble. Like, you're in serious issue because if you're spending an extra $400 a month, when it comes to buying power, that's $100,000 maybe. I'll do the math so I don't sound like such a guy that's making things up, but that's serious. Somebody that can buy a $300,000 house now can only afford a $200,000 house. Like, it's a massive, massive swing.
As far as if I'm looking to sell, right, and I'm not in a floodplain, for example, but you know, there's been known to be overland water issues. What is there any reporting requirement? Because you think about, well, you had an inspection done. You might not have had any water damage to the house, but you know, that owner that's looking to sell knows that. Every time we get 2 inches, water pools in this area. Is there any requirement on that?
Yeah. So what you're speaking of is disclosing. And every seller has to fill out a property disclosure statement saying this is everything we know about the property. And so if you've had any seepage in the basement, if you've had any roof leaks, if you have a water main, that issue, I mean, whatever it may be, you have to disclose. Otherwise, you are leaving yourself subject to a massive amount of litigation and pain. But that's only for your personal property. Right. So if the road that you take to get to your personal property has overland flooding to it, but your actual property isn't underwater at any time, you don't have to disclose that. So the due diligence of the buyer as well as the realtors that are representing is really imperative in that kind of situation.
Very good. Your thoughts and questions coming into 35270. All your real estate. That's your chance for free advice here.
And let me, I can talk about Kirby Puckett, too, if you want to talk about twins.
Kirby Puckett. That was my first starstruck moment. I was in the gymnasium, and he was our guest speaker. Kirby Puckett was like an arm length from me.
I have to share. My aunt Anne is listening right now. She's in Sartell, Minnesota. Used to live in Fargo and listens to all my stuff and loves KFGO. My aunt Anne took me to a Twins game. I think it was about 1990. And we left the game at like the seventh inning to go and get autographs. I went with my older cousin. She finished watching the game. And out comes first Alan Anderson. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to get Al Anderson's autograph when I did. And then on the baseball, here comes Kirby Puckett. And I am, from me to you, I'm like 4 feet away from Kirby. And he's walking up. And my Aunt Ann gives me her camera. And it's around my neck as though I'm paparazzi, ready to take this picture. I get Kirby Puckett's autograph, and I fail to take the picture. And to this day, my Aunt Ann still makes me sit at the kids' table. Yeah. Right? Like, it's still this, like, family grudge for forever.
It's really just you had the one job.
I know.
You had one job.
Ann, I failed you. I'm sorry. I still love you. Please put me back in the Christmas card.
And we love that you listen to KFGO and all things with Eric Hatch as well. Question comes in for you. Tyler, can you ask Eric, if a person found a gem of a craftsman style in a small town, once purchased, could it be moved and the property be donated back to the town?
Could the property be moved and then...
I'll read it for you one more time. If a person found a gem of a craftsman style in a small town, once purchased, could it be moved, meaning the house, obviously, and the property of which was there, be donated back to the town?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Unique question.
I will tell you that if you are going to move a house, and we work with some clients that have done that, there was a house on the Fargo Country Club that one of our clients picked up and moved out of town. Those moving expenses are about $50,000 just to pick it up and to move it. It's not an inexpensive go. And then where it lands, it's going to take foundation. It needs a foundation. It needs a yard. It needs water, sewer, all those things that are needed to be brought to it, as well as electrical. And so it's not an inexpensive thing to do by any means. The overall question that the listener has, can you donate that back to the small town? I really don't know. Nobody's ever asked me that before, and I don't want to make it up and try to sound smarter than I am.
Yeah, we don't need any legal papers being sent to the KFGO studio saying, hey, I got this from Eric. It is a unique question because you think about some of those small towns in which they've got vacant lots there where, I mean, you can purchase them for relatively cheap.
Leaving it to them, I
don't know.
If you donate that back, you're basically saying, I don't want to pay taxes on this anymore. And I could see that being an issue for some small towns. I think it's Hendrum, Minnesota. It was 7 or 8 or 9 years ago. They were giving away lots for free because they wanted somebody to actually come and start paying those taxes. Mm-hmm. So to the texter's question, my gut says, no, I don't think they'll allow you to give it back. They're going to want somebody to own that so that they're collecting taxes on it.
Right. And then to have the expense of somebody going and wanting the lifestyle of a small town, which we've talked about in previous conversations, and then to build on that lot, yeah, it might be an uphill battle for you. But not saying it's impossible. We just don't know. Appreciate that unique question, though.
Yeah.
If you have a question, buying, selling, what goes into the whole process, peace of mind, 35270, you send them in. Eric Hatch is keeping it real. He's with you all the way till 5 o'clock. You call Eric Hatch and keeping it real with Eric Hatch on here. That was a tough one. You didn't have to roll your eyes like that.
Oh, my gosh. That was a stretch, and I appreciated every bit of it.
Keeping it real. Not next Wednesday. It's today. And it takes
we heard that commercial of the second Wednesday of every month. And no, it's today, babies.
You're going down to watch some horse racing.
Maybe. I'm going to Louisville. Yeah, there will be remnants of the races of the horses, but I won't be there for the fun.
Yeah, the hangovers too, probably, because you're going the day after. I haven't paid any attention this year to the Kentucky Derby, but I'm sure I'll be watching.
Do you usually?
I at least know the names of a couple of the front runners.
Yeah.
I might be there. I'll have a mint julep on Saturday.
Okay. Thanks for your sacrifice.
Yeah, that was just, somebody's got to do it. We talked about water. The other thing that came out earlier today, interest rates going up 0.5%. I know that's attention grabbing because that's the largest leap, I think, in what, 20 some years.
Mm-hmm.
But in the grand scheme of things, I just want your thoughts on interest rates, what that's doing for the market.
So it's not the mortgage rates that went up today.
Okay.
It's the federal interest rate. And so those are two different things. The federal interest rate went up 0.5%, which is the highest since, I think, 2000, from what I was reading earlier.
22 years ago.
Right? Yeah. So, I mean, this is obviously a significant thing. The push right now is to curb inflation. Mm-hmm. Listeners out there as well will certainly attest to, if they had a mortgage in the 80s, it was in the 15 to 20%. Historic interest rates over the test of time of the last 100 years in the United States is about 6% is that average. We're still under that 6%, right, which is means that the affordability is still high. But, man, I take it this way. This is an analogy I shared with somebody the other day, and it made sense. And let's say I want to go to Scheels because I saw that Scheels was advertising buy one pair of shoes, get a pair free. And so I'm watching. I'm like, oh, man, that'd be awesome. And so I stroll into Scheels next week, and they're like, yeah, the sale's done. So I'm frustrated. I'm ticked off. I'm like, I wanted two pairs of shoes for the price of one. This is really frustrating. And I'm going to walk out, and I'm not going to buy a pair of shoes, but because I'm frustrated. But I look down the next week, and I still got holes in my shoes. And they're still dirty and run down. And I'm eventually going to have to go back and buy that new pair of shoes. And that new pair of shoes now isn't even at the buy one, get one free. And it's not at the price that it was today. It's in a two-month price when that price has continued to go up. And that's what's happening right now with real estate is people are used to the buy one, get one free. They're used to the superb deal that was there when it comes to buying property. That superb deal of a low, low interest rate isn't there anymore. And so people are pausing their purchase, but emotionally, they're still going to look around and say, I don't like the walls that I'm in, or there's not enough space, or I need less neighbors on top of me. Whatever that pain may be, it will exacerbate itself. And I'm confident that we will still continue to see a high demand market despite those interest rates because people still have holes in their shoes.
We'll send an invoice to Steve Scheels about the free ads you just got. But you're absolutely right, though, because because I got into that window, right?
Yeah,
I consider
did.
Myself very lucky, and so do my friends.
You got the buy one? They're making fun of you? Or
yeah, they're like, well, you got lucky there, didn't you, man? I'm like, well, yeah, I struck when the iron was hot because of what our needs were, and we had no idea what the future was going to hold. But looking back, yeah, I consider myself lucky because we bought and sold when we did.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. I mean, it's not like, oh, geez, now everything's to a halt. I mean, the market is still just incredible out there.
I saw a stat earlier today that talked about the reason why we're seeing this this increase. So we have to look at the landscape of real estate in general. 2000 to 2008, mortgages were just handed out. If you could fog a mirror, you got a mortgage. If you've seen the movie The Big Short, it really paints the picture well, or read the book The Big Short. It gives this incredible insight to how so many people were buying homes. And so they were building aplenty, right? Builders were able to capitalize and make hella cash on that and made such good money. But then when the market crashed, they stopped building. Locally, in the Red River Valley, things stayed pretty constant. It wasn't like there was just this total drying up of nobody built, but it wasn't like it was. And that went on from 2008 until roughly 2018. The entire country saw a dissolving of homes that were supposed to be built. The National Association of Home Builders says that there needs to be about 2 million homes built annually in order to keep up with the growth of the country. And our population continues to increase, and because our population continues to increase, so do opportunities. And now we're behind like 5 million houses, Tyler, nationally. Locally, I don't know what that number is, but the Fargo-Moorhead area adds 3,000 to 5,000 people per year, and that ends up being like 2.6 people per household, so that's still 2,000 new houses. And so take a look, and there has to be 2,000 new houses built every year just to keep up with demand, or apartments or anything else, and we're not building that much. And so the problem is compounding, and until we can build a whole lot more houses, or until everybody chooses to live in the basement of their parents' home, here we go.
Man, a lot of shrills out there saying, no, not in my house. Eric Hatch is keeping it real. You have a real estate question, now's your chance to send it in to 35270. We'll also take your calls after this KFGO news update at 237 5948. One thing I know every time we have this conversation, lake property comes up. We'll talk about that and whatever else you have as far as questions this final half hour of Afternoons Live. Now keeping it real. I'm Tyler Axis. Don't go anywhere. Well, people don't forget, as we learned when Eric Hatch had one job, to take the damn photo, man. Somebody texted, I ate lunch with Rod Carew at a baseball camp when I was a kid, and we'll never forget. People don't forget, especially when you have a cool experience like that.
Yeah, I share, my Aunt Ann did manage to text me. Ann, I know you're still listening. She said, I'm laughing so hard. Good thing I went potty before your show. I remember that like it was yesterday. So,
see, now you have
got there.
You have that mental image, just not the physical copy that you can hang on the fridge or in a frame.
That's right.
And it's all Eric's fault. Let's talk lake property if you have questions as well. 35270. Call us 237-5948. This final 25 minutes, any question you have, it's free real estate advice. CBS National News on the way. We'll come back. Keeping it real with Eric Hatch next. Hot take out earlier in the show when we were playing a song by the band The Cars. I said, nobody really loves The Cars, do they? They're just there in the background. I'm going to ask Eric Hatch, my guest. It's keeping it real. Where do you rate The Cars?
I don't know if I rate them at all, is the answer to the question.
That's not my take wasn't so hot anymore, but I did offend one of our listeners. They said, I turned it up when the song came on, turned you down. The Cars is just there. I don't know why Billy Squire made me think of that, but one question I do have when it comes to real estate, we get questions every month when we have you on about like property.
Yeah,
you
know, every time.
Every time. And every now and then you'll see one pop up. I mean, do they, because it's so limited, I assume, do they go off the shelf, so to speak, quickly? Or how is that market compared to just the, hey, here's my year-round house
in town? From November until March or April, it is rare to see a lake property come on the market. Completely rare, because lake properties show so well in the summer.
Right.
My wife and I recently bought a new lake place, and the pictures like won us over because there's all these aerial views and the trees are changing color, and you see the lake just sparkle in the sunshine. And when you're trying to advertise a place where it's like, look, there's snow everywhere and you can't actually get a feel for it. Like, lake properties are so much about the outside. So what happens is we originally are cutting off 6 months of advertising time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that does bring a much larger increase of demand for those summer months, essentially April to September or October. As that happens, there is such a shortage of lake places. We've seen the rich get richer over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Those that have had wealth have now compounded some of that money. And because travel hadn't happened, travel is obscene right now. If you've been to any airport, not only are the prices crazy, but there are just lines out of every door because travel is back. But for that 2 year period, travel was not back. And so people said, if I can't get out of here, where can I escape to that's a drive away? And that's where we find ourselves now, is that demand has increased. There's more buyers, more people with wealth. The prices continue to go up, but people are saying, I want to have something that is an hour away instead of something that is 7 hours away.
Right.
And so they're choosing to retreat to and escape to, because COVID has exacerbated one thing for us. And that is, our home is not just where we live. It's now where we work. It's where we exercise. It's where we educate. It's where we retreat to. And people are investing more and more into real estate. So lake prices are crazy right now. And I don't see that slowing down. But we will know when, if ever, another recession is coming, because it'll be felt there first.
That's the first one that slows down.
My opinion is those second home markets will feel it first. A Phoenix or a Scottsdale area, they will get hit before Fargo gets hit and before Minneapolis gets hit, is because so many homes down in that area are second home properties that at any given time down in Scottsdale, I don't know if you've been to the Phoenix Metro, can drive for an hour and a half and still be in town. And it is such a large spread of a metro, and there's so many houses that are there, but half those houses sit vacant. because people are escaping there on a couple weekends a month and that sort. And so it's a peculiar market, but those second home markets, whether it be Lakes or Scottsdale or anything else, those will usually feel the recession first.
That just kind of gave me shivers saying, hey, you could be driving an hour and a half and stay within the metro. Now that's just my own personal opinion. I know that to each their own, but not for me. When it comes to the different sides of this river, I know we talk about property tax, we talk about income taxes. Is there any difference when it comes to the secondary home?
You pay tax in the place that you live for six months and one day. Okay. I know some people that have moved down to Puerto Rico, and there's very low tax rates there. And then there's other people who will live in Fargo for 6 months in one day, and then they'll live at the lake the rest of the time. There's other folks that are skirting by and trying to find those opportunities to say, I'm actually living at the lake full time, but I keep my Fargo condo or I keep my Fargo house, my North Dakota house. So I'm not calling anybody out. I certainly understand playing those games and trying to keep your income taxes low.
Everyone's wishing they could do that themselves. Don't roll your eyes. That's just the honest truth. And if you can't, why not? The other time that we were discussing things last month is some of those rural towns. This person talking about a small town. Nothing's changed there, I assume. I mean, the metro area is saying, well, yeah, you can see development here. We still don't have enough homes. You have people that are still maybe looking, well, I could drive 30 miles. That's still.
I think you just struck on something that a lot of people that are moving to Fargo for the first time have no issue driving 30 minutes. They have no issue living in the Castletons and the even all the way up to almost like a Hillsboro and that sort. People don't have issue living a bit outside of town because if you're coming from rural anywhere, you're used to driving a long distance. If you're coming from the Twin Cities, you're used to driving 30 to 45 minutes to get to your job. My sister lives in Centerville, Minnesota, up by White Bear Lake, and she goes down to work at General Mills, which is a 40-minute drive. That's obscene to me because I can get to my lake place in 50 minutes, you know? Like, I can get to a whole nother world from Fargo to Lake Sally. I can get to a whole nother world in 50 minutes, and she can get to another part of the same city. And so when it comes to people living in rural areas, I do think we're going to see either a continual decline or a nice little upswing. And I know that that's not incredible, insightful advice, but rural towns have started to decline over the last 30 or 40 years because people are drawn to larger metros. But those that are within enough proximity, a 30-minute range, if you draw a circle around any large metro, I think you're going to see that surge and that urge for those places to start developing some housing again and to get some opportunities.
And that's exactly where my mind is, too. I think back where I'm originally from. Now, you have some people closer to my age going back, taking over farms primarily, right. The family farm. So, all right, you got maybe just a little up, but some of them are having kids.
But there's not new opportunity they're going to. They're going to old opportunity that's taking the seat.
And that's an interesting point we're just having with an individual back there, frustrated with her job. But you know what? There are, unfortunately, now maybe not as much now because, like you say, your home can be your office as well. So you can be hired from someone out of state. But primarily, if you're looking to physically have that, you're leaving there to come into a spot here.
Yeah, you are.
But you know what? If you're coming from there, you know, a Harwood, a Horace, pick any of the small towns within that 30 miles might be enticing.
It's preferred. And it's funny that you say Harwood and Horace because
those are
Fargo and West Fargo extended. Those aren't even small towns anymore. Yeah. It has a small town feel, but like North Fargo has a small town feel.
Yeah.
But North Fargo is still Fargo. I'm dare I say, and I'm going to upset somebody here. I can't wait for the calls and the texts.
Get used to it. It's
hot show. Dare I say, Horace is simply a part of Fargo. It's a part of West Fargo. Harwood is just a part of Fargo. It's a part of West. They're still small town communities. They're still protected. But we are now just kind of merged into one.
Well, and I can vouch for that. We had coffee with KFGO. Thanks, Vision Ford of Wapiton, down in Horace. Was it last week or the week before at the Grove? Beautiful place. Fantastic place. I went out there at 8 o'clock, and the people trying to get to town, meaning the actual city of Fargo, West Fargo, at 8 o'clock,
right.
There are a lot of traffic out there. So even the community itself of Horace, there's a boom going on there. Eric Hatch is here for your questions. Final segment of Keeping It Real coming up after we get you this weather update from Too Tall Tom Szymanski. You got it locked in at 790 AM, 94.1 and 104.7 FM. KFGO. You got another opportunity to get your real estate questions answered right now for free. The Price is Right. I was just telling you a scenario because I've heard your ads on KFGO.
Mm-hmm.
It shows the power of advertising and KFGO. Of wanting to snoop on neighbors.
Right.
I tell you what, we moved into our new house, and just a couple months ago, a new house came up on the market, just block over. First thing we did, go online and check that out. I wanted to know. So there's truth in it. But selling strategies, because I don't know that that house has been sold yet. So walk people through some of the strategies they can keep in mind if they're thinking about selling.
Well, I think pricing is the thing we have to talk about. Everybody's afraid of underpricing. Nobody is really afraid of overpricing. But what happens with a house is if you overprice it, it becomes like day-old bread. It gets a little more stale, and the only way somebody's going to buy it is if you reduce the price. A couple of years ago, we had listed two homes on the same week within a block of each other in the Longfellow area up in North Fargo. There's the west side of Elm and the east side of Elm. This was on the west side of Elm, and so it's kind of smaller places compared to some of the big ones that are over there in the Longfellow area. We listed both homes that I thought were each worth about $240,000 in that market. One of those homes we listed for $235,000, and one we listed for $250,000. The house that we listed for $250,000 sat on the market for about 30 days, and then we did a price reduction down to $245,000. It sat for another 45 days, and after 75 days of being on the market, it ended up getting an offer for $238,000, $2,000 under what I thought it would sell for. A similar house, I mean, these are different layouts, different homes, of course, so it's not apples to apples, but the other one we listed at $235,000 that we thought would sell at $240,000. And that home, within a three-day period, had multiple offers on it, and it sold for $245,000, $5,000 over where I thought it would sell for. With 2.5 less months on market, imagine if you're that home seller, you actually just made more money by pricing your house a little bit under. Mm-hmm. And so there's some massive strategy that goes into this, Tyler. If you're thinking about selling your house, you want to create demand and you want to create a bidding war. There is a house in Texas, and I forget the city in Texas, but a 2,000 square foot Rambler, 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, 2 garage stalls. Beautiful, but nothing spectacular. Listed for $1.2 million. So if that tells you the inflation of the market right now of the prices, it's crazy. It got into a bidding war. That home sold for $2.5 million. 105% over the asking price. Now, that's not going to happen in Fargo. I mean, unless the seas part, and right? That's not going to happen in our neck of the woods. But what is going to happen is if you price it where there's demand and you can actually get a chance to make a lot more. And it seems bass-ackwards, doesn't it? It seems like, why in the world would I go ahead and price my house a little bit under the market? I want to maximize my price. It's all about the demand that you can create. And three buyers fighting for it instead of one buyer settling for it creates a massive difference.
You know, and going through that process recently with Hatch Realty, you know, just the numbers that your team's able to provide, because the biggest question is, well, where do you even market it at? Where do you put it at? You know, because we know, this is what you think you could get, but you want to be within a ballpark, right? Mm-hmm. For exactly what you just described, and you guys helped us walk through, pinpoint it, and we sold for over our asking price as well.
In just a couple of days, it's why you get to give me a free commercial every time we talk about
it.
is we got you more than you thought. We made the pain a lot less of the struggle, and the market changes daily. There's a study that shows for sale by owner people, those that choose to sell on their own. And I don't blame you for saying, hey, this is a great time to sell on my own. Mm-hmm. There's a study that's done, and for sale by owner people are selling for something like 80 cents on the dollar of what somebody who lists traditionally is, because they end up leaving money on the table or they don't know how to negotiate in position.
Wow. That's why you got to hire them. Eric Katch, keeping it real every second Wednesday, except for this month.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll be back next month, won't you?
I hope so, yeah.
Very good. I'll welcome you back. You have fun down in Louisville, all right?
Thanks, buddy.
All right, I'm going to let you go. Eric-